now time to start this meeting for Parking Advisory Committee, Wednesday, November 16th.
Are you roll call?
Okay.
Roll call.
Roll call first.
Robert Eman's here.
Bill Brannigan.
Gary Ripka.
Aaron Brett.
David Beckett.
Araceli Guevara.
Janelle Coughlin.
Derek Togo's here as city staff.
Karen Marinoff, city staff.
And our guests.
Susan Armstrong.
Ashley Bixler.
Nice to see you there.
Nice to see you. Thanks for coming. Next, oh wait, before we get into the rest of the agenda, there's been a couple of requests to end this meeting by 7:30. If we can get a vote to approve that request. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Nay. Okay. So we'll, for tonight, end this meeting at 7:30. Then we have, the next is the approval of minutes for the last meeting. If you've all had a chance to review those, if there's any, thing that you, any amendments or anything?
I reviewed all the meeting, the minutes. I think there was only one minor thing that I turned in. Otherwise, it was very factual, so I would recommend that we approve, the meeting minutes.
I'll second the motion.
All right, meeting movements, minutes have been approved. Oh, no, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Okay, approval minutes have been, minutes have been approved. Now, we move on to the, continued discussion on the parking permit component of the Bayfront Parking Management Solution. I'll turn it over to Derek.
Sure. Before we start that, I did want to give Aaron just a second. I believe he has an item he would like, to add to the agenda if the group's amenable to it.
If it's okay, if we can add to the agenda, brief discussion about enforcement of parking regulations and changes.
Do we have to vote on that or just say yes?
Typically, you would vote on it to add it to the agenda.
All those in favor of adding a discussion of the parking enforcement, is that what you said?
Yeah.
To the meeting agenda. All those in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Okay, we'll add it to the agenda.
Want to tackle that first or after this? Your call. You got the power.
Let's do it now.
Fair enough.
I emailed Derek earlier today and I pointed out that as we talk about doing things like changing the time limits on parking areas and even just the institution of, paying for parking, we won't be able to achieve success at all by just putting signs up and changing the ordinance. We have to make sure that the, police have the resources that they need in order to enforce all this stuff, because people are not, especially people, who feel entitled to be able to park someplace are not going to comply with this unless, there's rigorous enforcement. And one of the suggestions that I had was that, the police aren't going to have a lot of resources to throw at it, and especially at first. And, I wonder if you might be able to, if the city has a collections agency on contract, or if you can piggyback on a state contract. And, basically, if people fail to appear to appeal their basically make the ordinance such that if you don't appear, you're subject to a fine. And if you don't pay your fines, it goes to collections. If that's possible, just basically like the way that the state enforces tolls.
I can speak to this somewhat. And we had some back and forth. I'll go and share what I shared with you. And our police chief, Jason Malloy, is in the loop on these meetings and is more than happy to attend when needed. So we may want to add that as a future meeting topic where Jason can kind of go through what his thoughts are in terms of how this will work. But we do coordinate. For the current fiscal year, they actually have a position budgeted to fill for parking enforcement. They're looking to time that so that that position is filled before we go online with the changes in the Bayfront, so that we actually have more enforcement resources, somebody who can actually do those tasks. And then that individual wouldn't be dedicated to the Bayfront. They'd be you know, Night Beach City Center as well. The other thought we have is that we're going to want to utilize whatever comes out of the RFP that's now in the street in terms of who we hire as a vendor. Their resources to make enforcement as easy as possible, you know, on all fronts. One, so it's clear to the person who's being cited, and we have a chance to work through that, you know, citation right off the bat, warning, then citation. We get to have that conversation in terms of how that works. But also, you know, that it's an electronic system that we talked about it briefly. That's, you know, a number of these vendors that we're going to be having an opportunity to potentially interview, maybe submitting proposals, have technology where they can, if you overstay and your vehicle is rented from a rental company, then the citation gets tagged onto your, you know, your rental contract, and so you're basically paying it when you return the car. I mean, so there's ways for us to, you know, some of them may be able to assist with collections. We do have a contract with collections. Principally use that for water utility billing, but it's available for tickets too. Collections are challenging on parking tickets. I mean, if it's not somebody, you know, if it's somebody who's just visiting, I think Jason, the last time he told me there, over the years, collections run about 25% of actual citations because there's a lot of people just tear them up and they're never back in Newport. Good luck tracking them down, getting them to pay it.
Well, considering that to park, you're going to use a credit or a debit card, mm-hmm. right? Electronic.
Yeah.
So with a violation, couldn't we just tack the amount of the violation onto their credit or slash debit card? Because we will have that information.
Well, those are things that we need to be able to talk to vendors about.
Legally do that.
Yeah, you can.
Yeah, I'm not sure you can. So. But they have worked out the rental company relationship, right. So that does exist.
Because you agree to pay any parking fines when you sign the lease.
When you sign it, yeah. and it's plastered in the vehicle too.
Yeah.
I just went through that going back east, so in terms of all of that.
But they're not going to sign a lease or anything to use a parking spot.
So.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's going to be tough to legally
charge somebody's credit card without.
Some of the parking apps do say that.
Huh?
Parking apps do say that you download the app from wherever city you're in, and what, you know, it says, like, you know, you have, you know, some of them have grace period or whatever, but otherwise it says, you know, if you don't pay your parking ticket, we're going to be running your card. Like, it'll just say it right off the bat.
That's if you pay to park.
Exactly.
If you just don't do it, then
right.
You get the ticket and then the
right.
enforcement's
right.
Right.
The expectation from the city in terms of this position is that, you know, it's going to be paid for out of meter and permit revenues, at least partially, and then to some extent on whatever we're getting in terms of citation collections. Citations in of themselves would not cover the cost of that position.
I mean, the committee has already been allotted so much money for all of the, you know, equipment to put in the whole plan. Don't we have enough to pay for that person?
We've budgeted a sufficient amount for this fiscal year. The expectation is that as meter revenues come in, and
sure.
You expect you're pulling in $350,000 to $500,000 a year in meter revenues, some portion of that would be dedicated to enforcement.
Right.
But if there's no enforcement, people aren't going to pay for it.
Right.
So we'll lose more revenue.
And as we saw at the last meeting, we did a little video with license plate recognition technology. This is a pretty efficient way to enforce. Far more efficient than what we've had previously. You know, where, I mean, they can just drive through, and with that camera, that camera's just pegging, okay, license plate, you know, did they pay? Or if it's in a timed area, you know, they're, you know how long they've been there. Every time the car rolls by, it's an electronic tick. You know, so.
Well, then you make up for, if only 25% of the citations pay, if you cite 100 people versus just 10 in the old days, you're going to get more just because of the efficiency and volume. So that would help too.
Mm-hmm.
So the technology can really pay off that way.
even if the absolute number of people paying doesn't change, the, you know, the relative amount will go up.
And our police department's going to want to be involved in any kind of selection of vendor, because they want to make sure that whatever technology they're using syncs up well with the tech they're using. So.
Aaron, was there a specific idea you had in mind?
No, just like I said, something similar to something that doesn't tax the police force too much, and something that you can at least motivate people who care about their credit. They'll pay their bills. But then I know that that Chief Malloy mentioned previously that, you know, when it comes down to it, they have limited options when somebody's just like, I'm not paying, and what are you going to do about it? And those are the folks that we really, because they're the ones that break the law conspicuously, and they're the ones that cause everybody else to look around and go, well, how come I'm doing this? I'm not going to do it if they're not going to do it. And then it just gets right out of hand, and before you know it, you got
a broom. Years ago, when they tried to enforce the parking tickets on the Bayfront, everybody knew they couldn't enforce them, really. I mean, nobody paid. I mean, there for quite a while.
I mean, what about a solution of towing away? If you are there for longer than the allotted time, they just tow your car, and then it's impounded. People aren't going to say, I'm going to write off a car.
Yeah, a few years ago, the city put in place some rules that allow for booting or, you know, towing and whatnot, if it comes to that. But, you know, I think we're going to have tools that we haven't had in the past.
Right.
Enforcement, I think it's incumbent upon us collectively to make sure that as this moves forward, whatever vendor's selected, that the enforcement piece is being adequately addressed, and that the police department's satisfied is adequately being addressed.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. To me, it's more valuable to hear from the police department than anybody, because they're the ones that's going to have to do the booting, and they know how difficult that is, and when it doesn't work, and what it's not going to work for, or towing, they're going to know, right. You know. I know signage is an issue with that. You have to cite certain things, and the signs have to be a certain height, and then you got to have a certain number, and it's got to be, like, really obvious.
Right.
But anyway, I think it'd be good to have the police chief talk us. And I don't think, it's not our job to, you know, allocate resources or anything like that, but certainly is a recommendation we could put our stamp on to the city council, that we pay this close attention, because I do think that there's going to be a pretty good segment of people that are going to really challenge it at the beginning. And they're going to be like, what are you going to do about it? And we have to have something to show them it's not in their best interest to not comply with the law.
I think at the beginning is the problem, right? Because we're looking at a behavior change, what we're trying to do. It may be better if we seek out a third party, right? Because we don't want to attach the Newport police to enforcement, because then it changes the perception of the police and what they're there for, right? I think we want a third party that tackles this, so we're not getting people come to City Hall or saying that the police are just out to give us citations and they're not doing anything else, right?
Right.
So I think if we're going to enforce a behavior change, we should seek out a possible third party that does this. They already have these solutions where they do go after your credit. Say, you have been cited $40 for your parking ticket, and if you don't pay, you will be sent to collections.
In our proposal request, did we write anything about enforcement? I forget. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's language okay. In there that covers that.
I would recommend that when we implement this, we go very gingerly before we do enforcement, because it's a rapid change. And if we get too aggressive, the Chamber of Commerce isn't going to be real happy, because we will become the unfriendliest city on the coast.
I think you're going to have to get aggressive on the
maybe the fishing
on the fishing side. You're going to have to get aggressive,
because the port's going through this currently, right. and I disagree. I think that you empower people to break the rules, and you extend the period of change down the road, because people believe that in their minds they've got this scenario cooked up that if they get a ticket, well, if I didn't know, or if I can blame it on some reason why I didn't know, then it's not my fault and I shouldn't get a fine. Because the people that should get fined, well, they have a curled mustache and a top hat, and they're villainous people. They're the villains, and they're not me. And I'm sorry, but that's not the way you get people to comply. You get them to comply by saying, nope, this is the law, it's your responsibility, you know the law, you didn't follow it, this is a $30 ticket, and here you go.
I think the fishing, your end and the fishing fleet is different than the tourists who come in for a week at Nye Beach or a weekend. And those guys I'd be a little more gingerly with.
So you tell your enforcement people to look.
I disagree. I think that when we make the change, and you don't say, I mean, they already think, people in the community already think, oh, this is never going to happen. They tried to do this before, and it's never going to happen. We never had to pay, and we're not going to do it. Well, it is going to happen, and they are going to pay. And I don't think it's going to be as big as a deal to people who are coming to Newport. It's not a hugely expensive fee. If they go anywhere, they're paying.
Except for in small coastal towns. So, I mean, yeah, but, if we're the only ones doing it, I think it's going to be hard on us.
Well, that's it.
We're not the only ones.
We're not doing
it. Warrington does it. In the docks.
Where?
The Warrington.
Yeah.
They do it.
You could just so easily go to Depot Bay or Astoria.
Yeah, but they won't.
In the other direction.
If people come to town to spend a lot of money on restaurants, for example, food's gone up, why not pay the ticket? The parking.
I could see both arguments, but I also just don't understand if it's just in one part of the town.
But it's just starting there.
We worked through that threshold question, so we'll see how it goes. I think.
In terms of the policing of it, can we maybe move this to have this on the next agenda and have the police chief come in, and then also make sure that when we're interviewing each company that we make sure that, obviously it's already in the proposal, but.
Yeah, we'll need to focus on enforcement, and we'll have a chance as, once you select the vendor and we're working with the vendor on the rollout, exactly how that happens. And certainly we're going to want to do a fair amount of outreach down on the bayfront so folks know what's coming and when, so they're not legitimately surprised. Say, hey, wait, where did this pop up?
Yeah, we did a pretty good job, before the pandemic.
We did.
We had a pretty informed fleet that, this is coming, and a lot of input, and then the pandemic, and it all went away. And everybody's kind of forgot about it.
Right, so we got to do another run at it.
We got to do another run at it.
And in terms of visitors, you could work with Discover Newport, you could work with the Chamber. Thousands of people come for the Seafood and Wine Festival. You could make it a thing, we can really market it so that when people do come to Newport, they know, I don't know how we're going to make it cool. I don't know how we're going to make it acceptable, but we can do it marketing. We can do it with marketing. Our meters are in. We're really excited for this new change. And maybe the vendors, maybe all the shops on the bayfront, are given an incentive to, let's party. Who knows? We can do some incentive.
Fortunately for tourists, too, though, they're familiar with pay-for-parking signs.
In general.
Kiosks, generally. Mm-hmm. So if they see them, they know what the drill is at that point.
Yeah.
And it's becoming more and more common parking has to be managed in high demand areas.
I think it's going to come to Seaside too.
Yeah.
Sounds like it.
It already has.
It has in Seaside?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that, but I know they were looking at at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we won't be the only coastal town with it.
No. Just with the level of congestion, and it's really a high demand areas. You got to manage parking in high demand areas, and this is an effective way of doing it. And it's small towns do it, larger community. It's all about, do you have a high demand area where you need to do it?
Well, we can't afford it, we don't have the space or the budget to build a parking structure.
Right.
So this is the only thing we really have left to manage parking.
And I think for, enforcement-wise, again, like I said, I think the committee's role here would be to make recommendations to the city council and not to really tell the police what they need to do or not to do. You basically listen to the police chief and what his recommendations, you go with that, and we just Maybe there's something we can put our stamp on to the city council that says our recommendation is that you place a high priority behind funding of enforcement of this, because it needs to stick once you throw it out there.
Well, I think it's a smart move. Get, see if Jason will come in here and share his thoughts, right? I mean, right before you get, yeah, well, right before you get the responses to the RFP, and then you'll have that on your mind, you know, right as you go into reviewing the proposal. We good on enforcement?
Thank you, yeah.
All right, I'm gonna go and put some stuff on the screen. I had a suggestion for Bill that as we continue the discussion about permit piece of this program, that we work from the west to the east and not get high centered on the discussion about the commercial fishing fleet this go around. So I'll go ahead and start on the west side. Before I do that,
you guys might want to say your stuff. Just like it.
I'm going to. Before I start going through here, I just wanted to, thought it might be helpful to just visualize kind of what the signage might look like. You know, I know each of these vendors that are going to be proposing to have their own kind of signage, but I mean, this is what we've got down there right now, the 4-hour signage that's right over there by the Abbey Street Pier, right across the street from it. So we have 4-hour parking. Within that specific time frame, 8 to 5, that's more or less consistent on the bayfront. There's a few spots where you have shorter duration parking for specific purposes. We can expect that, you know, we're going to be transitioning to signage. Now, right now it still would stay 4-hour parking, and it's going to be within the duration we've been talking about, which we'll have a chance to talk about further. I think we were going to go to 7 p.m. I don't think we've talked, 7 days a week during peak period, we're not exempting out any days. And then this is just how you can see how these signs can be structured for different permit programs. So that's more or less what you can expect signage to look like. It does need to have a certain consistency to it. But one of the things I want to chat with you briefly about is, do you think 4 hours is good? When we did the study, your typical turnover was more in the 2.5-hour range. You weren't getting a full 4 hours typically on some of the higher demand.
You don't have any of the maps, do you, that shows where the different areas and what they're...
Yeah, I do. I'll bring that up here
okay.
in a second. But, you know, Nine Beach is 3... Bayfront's 4, City Center's 2. Typical stay duration across all 3 was about 2.5 hours.
But 4 hours is very generous from my experience of traveling. Mm-hmm. You know, most places are 2 to 3 hours.
Yeah. Yeah, I was having a hard time finding it in other jurisdictions 4. Now, I'm not saying that's a reason to change it. If you think 4 is fine, that's fine. Leave it.
I mean, 4 hours is enough to eat in the restaurant and go through a few shops.
Exactly. If you go shorter than that, if you're at a restaurant, it can take an hour and a half.
Totally.
It's super busy, or you have a big group, mm-hmm. and then you basically ate up all your time if it's shorter.
Okay. Gary, do you know what it is in Warrington?
No. Well, no. Well, in the Warrington, they do it at the docks, and they do it for the sport fishermen. They charge parking. And it's like $10 for all day.
Yeah, different deal.
That's what I was going to ask about is what are we, what's our main, it's the area where the charter boat people, where the charter customers park. And that's a...
They would get a temporary permit. That's
okay.
What we talked to them about.
Okay, all right.
They get a temporary permit, they buy those, they can, when their folks come in, they can grab those and go.
So they'll fit into this, they'll fit in the part, yeah, it'll be this own area on the bottom there, they'll fit into that and then they don't pay, but I got you.
And right now we only have one charter office that's on the bayfront.
Yeah.
Yeah, the other one's building fell into the bay.
Yes.
No, it didn't fall in the bay.
Didn't fall in the bay.
We pulled it off first. And the structure's still there.
Yes, that's where I used to keep the smoking reel. No, my other boat, my other charter boat.
Yeah.
So we parked it.
So we'll probably say 4-hour parking, we'll have our time duration, except for permit, blah, blah, blah. And those are a couple different ways you can kind of format that stuff.
And then if you do a towing, you probably have a separate sign that says,
yeah,
call this number if your car's gone.
Well, and also this also doesn't include the payment and all that kind of stuff.
Right, yeah, that's true.
All right, I'm gonna bring the map up.
So this is.
One question before you go.
Yeah, sure.
The signage, I'm concerned about the people that work in at the factories. Food processors, the Seafood Pacific. Are these signage are going to be maybe in certain areas perhaps?
We had discussed, that was in the notes, that we would try to do bilingual signs.
I just was wondering.
Did we talk about signage or just that the
vendor would have bilingual? It was more the app.
Yeah, the app.
Oh.
Yeah, but I think signage is a good point. A couple of Spanish signs or foreign language signs.
I mean, I do think that they could probably figure it out. I mean, it is.
Most phones have like a translate option too. If you have a smartphone, you can aim it at it and translate it right away.
And also just the words, I mean, hour is very close to horas. So, you know, it's kind of, and the, yeah, hours and parking, they're very similar words, you know, so it's, you know what I mean?
Is there an ODOT standard for signage on parking or, and does this meet it?
These are, yeah, you have some flexibility. These are your pretty typical TOT styles that you would see for time-limited parking. You don't want to get too creative. You want to be more or less consistent on that kind of thing.
What about color?
They tend to be green, yeah.
Can we make them blue?
Well, we'll have some other options with the vendor stuff for the payment signs, which are going to be a little bit different. But for the time parking regulatory signs,
they have to be green.
They would be green, yeah.
They have to.
That's tsunami evacuation signs are blue.
Okay.
Yeah, once we get into the regulatory signs, they have a whole program in there.
Would these signs be reflective of the areas that are permit parking only? Because you're.
These aren't even the real signs. He's just
these aren't the real ones. I'm just showing you how the transition would look somewhat like that.
Okay.
And you know, I'm going to need your help. On what we call some of these other. I mean, we're talking zone A, B, C, D. We're going to call them something else. You know, so when we get into these permit zones, what do you think we ought to be call them? Because you have a lot of flexibility there. I mean, you can have it. You know, I've seen a lot of these go with like a numeric zone 300 versus zone 200, or you can go with the, you know, K permit like you're seeing there, or C permit, you know, go with just letters for the different areas. Because we're going to have different zones. We're going to have a different, certainly a different zone on the east side than on the west side. And we'll want to kind of talk about that.
And then someday you may have other parking districts.
Like Nye Beach.
Around the city that
you want to build on that theme.
Right.
Awesome.
If it goes good here, they'll be at Nye Beach eventually.
What's that?
I said if it goes good on the bayfront, they'll probably be at Nye Beach eventually.
Yeah, we'll start with getting the permit program straight there, but you're right. I suspect that would happen if it goes well on the bayfront. At least in the core part of Nye Beach where you have comparable parking conditions. Mm-hmm. All right, so let's start on the west.
So what are we doing right now?
So we're talking a little bit more about parking permitting. And so we're just kind of working through the bayfront map, and the discussion we were having had to do with parking permits and how we price them. So where we'd left it, you know, we're on the, we're 11 a.m. to 7 p.m., May to October, is when we're going to be running the paid parking program, so the permits. And then outside of May to October, 11 to 7, 8, 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. Off-season would be a weekends only.
What about holidays?
Well, if we go there, I'll ask you, we could. I mean, the holidays you get between October and May, though, are Christmas Day, Thanksgiving. Are those holidays you really want to charge for?
No, I'm
most things are shut down there on those days.
Yeah.
New Year's Day would be another one.
I wouldn't charge during those days.
No.
There's nobody down there.
Is it through the end of May or at the beginning of...
Holidays are packed down there sometimes.
Christmas Day and Thanksgiving Day.
Christmas and Thanksgiving would be... Now, New Year's, you probably have a few folks down there, but that depends too, weather depending.
Memorial Day would be the only... I mean, that's going to be a super busy weekend. That's in May.
That's in your on-season. It's 7 days already, so it's going to get picked up.
But so, you said off-season was October... That's what I was asking. Is it
off-season? No, not off.
October. It's November.
It'd be November 1 through April 30.
Okay, gotcha.
So basically from Halloween.
Yeah.
From Halloween.
Is April Fool's Day count?
I mean, I think that free is good. I mean, especially on those holidays when it's mostly family-oriented and it'll be much more focused on people who are living here rather than visiting here, I would think.
Well, you're not gaining much revenue.
It's always tourists.
You're not gaining hardly any revenue.
Aside from seafood wine.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good point.
You turn them on for seafood wine?
Well, like what about spring break?
Well, seafood wine.
Spring break, yeah.
Your weekend would be a go. Your weekdays would not. So
it's mostly a weekend.
So it's mostly a weekend, so I don't think that would impact it. But like spring break is slammed.
Yeah.
You know, and that's like a 3-week window that we're really busy with all the buffer spring breaks around us in the other states too.
When's that exactly the date?
It's usually like early March to like, I would say like the second week of March through like the first week of April.
Yeah.
There's a lot of spring breaks in Washington, Idaho, California, and Oregon. So we get a lot of business in those times.
I have a question. Is the time period that we're enforcing this written as an ordinance, or is it flexible? I mean, we could, you know, see, roll out with May to November or whatever, and then if there's a problem with spring break, we could always add it later.
I'll have to put some code together on that, and I think the way we would probably do it is put the authority and process in ordinance and allow for the adjustment of timing to be done something more like resolution.
Mm-hmm.
So it's flexible. So if the council needs to adjust it for any reason, it can be done without a formal ordinance.
Mm-hmm. Right. And it can be done in the reverse too. We could say, and spring break, but then we could take it out if we find that that's too onerous.
Yep.
So it could go either way. It doesn't have to be.
It's about trying to manage available parking. And so it needs to be nimble enough to do that if circumstances change or if a particular approach is not working.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we'll make sure that that kind of flexibility is in there. All right. Let me back into this guy. Zoom it up a little bit so we can see it a little better. So...
That's an old picture.
Yeah, I've never
seen gardens there.
So here we are in the West End, and the way the program was set up on the West End is you've got this was going to be built. This is meter only, would be your on street along Bay Boulevard, and then the lots were set up as paid. When we say meter, it's the same as paid because we're talking about most of this being app-based. So the on-street would be paid only, so no permit option on the on-street. The lots would have a permit option to them. You've got the Abbey, what we currently call the Abbey Street lot here with 67 spaces collectively. That's those two here, and then you've got this one up here at 22, and this is the Fall Street one over by Pacific Seafood. It's got another 14.
That's hard to get 14 there when the shrimp plant's running. The totes and stuff stacked in there in trucks.
Yeah, I hardly ever see any open parking there.
Yeah, it's never.
Well, it's because they co-opt them. They use them all.
Right.
You know, so
I mean, so you don't, we aren't getting 14 there.
Well, they had to start paying to put whatever they're putting there.
Yeah, they don't get them for free. It's a public parking lot. I mean, that was the concept. So, I mean, frankly, there are times where the entire Abbey Street parking lot is taken up by folks that are working in the plants too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's part.
Oh yeah.
So again, a lot of this was about changing behavior by pricing these parking assets.
I'm just saying that the 14 things that's not taken up by parking a lot. A lot of times, half and third of it's taken up by totes.
Well, that's what he's saying is they're gonna
pay for that.
Enforcement will
There's
be.
That's something we actually. Our code enforcement has had quite a bit of back and forth with them on that.
Right.
It's a tug of war with Pacific.
I know. Well, no. Yeah, I'm just saying.
Yeah, so because it is not within their lease area. They lease the dock. They do have some upland area right in this area here that they have that as part of a lease with us for storage, mm-hmm. but they regularly slop over that.
I mean, were they the ones that own the building that they just tore down on the other side of that lot?
Yep.
So, I mean, could they maybe just, like, start shoving everything over there then? Because it's a big empty space.
Dock's
now.
Not good enough. That's why they're tearing it all down.
I know, but to, like, store totes instead of being in a parking spot, I mean, couldn't they just put them there?
I'm not sure it can handle weight.
The reason they're tearing that down is it's, one, the building was rotten, and two, the
right.
dock underneath is bad. That's why they haven't built anything there. All that dock is bad.
Yeah, I know it's all bad. I just didn't know if it would be okay enough to hold the totes, because it was holding a building, so, you know, I feel like...
It can probably hold the totes, but the traffic of the forklifts coming in and out with those, that's the problem.
Plus, you got to remember, those totes weigh about 600 pounds a piece with shrimp and ice in it. More than that, actually. It's ice in it.
We know what their plan is to do.
And you stack them 10 high.
Right.
It's a lot of weight.
Not beyond what I was mentioning
right.
before the meeting, which was, you know, Pacific has for, once they picked this up from California Shellfish, I think it was, or Hallmark, so they now own to either side of a small dock section that the city owns in this public parking lot. So they've got this operation here, and then they picked this side up. And they'd like to redevelop the entire piece. They just they don't have the resources to do it right now. They were trying to get federal money through, or federal and state money through Connect Oregon and EDA to do with a partnership with the city, our small little piece, to do some small business incubator space for businesses, emerging technology that need access to the bay, with the larger part of it being available for as basically open dock space for commercial fishing operations, and they'd have additional dock area for vessels to moor. The problem is they struggled through and were not able to get those funds, I think in large part because you didn't have the public benefit there that justified the investment of public dollars. And so that's why it never really got traction with EDA or Connect Oregon. It didn't score high enough. It was just there wasn't a commensurate level of public benefit in the eyes of those that were mm-hmm. doling those funds out. So I don't know where they're at right now. The last Connect Oregon round where they didn't get funded, wrapped up, I want to say, within the last 12 months.
Yeah.
So and the lead on that was an attorney in their office who just recently took a job elsewhere. So I'm not sure exactly where they're at, you know, on that.
It's extremely expensive.
It's going to be very expensive.
Maybe they could donate it to the city.
Huh?
Maybe they could donate it to the city for parking.
Yeah, I was just saying, with the parking structure.
They're not going to give up that ground.
I don't think the city wants to rebuild the pier.
No,
that's the
city doesn't have the money either. It's hugely expensive.
And we didn't even touch on the environmental issues that are likely on that property that are going to have to be dealt with.
So do any of the shops on that end, do the shops on that end, all are they all, do they all have parking right now? I know that with the current parking requirements, I mean, at least.
Very, very few properties on the Bayfront have off-street parking. I mean, you'll see, and then where you do see things that appear to be off-street parking, one or two spaces, often what it'll be is an undeveloped public right-of-way where you're squeezing in a few spaces. For example, the parking that had been next to the coffee house, that's a road right-of-way.
Right.
Right next to a wastewater pump station there.
What about, isn't that?
The one right sandwiched between Geno's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's another undeveloped road right-of-way. You know, that obviously wasn't developed because it'd have to go up that bluff.
Right.
I'm just wondering if, I mean, I don't know if we are allowed to change any of this, but like the number 9 and 12, could those be permit areas as well, just for the business shop owners?
9 and 12.
You mean the most west?
Down here on that.
Yeah, the furthest west.
Right. These guys?
Yeah.
Well, that further eats into what would be available for permit parking.
Well, it could be.
This was drafted at a time where this wasn't vacant. You know, and
right.
The expectation was there was going to be a basics market there.
Right. Uh-huh.
In which case, you know, you could see why you would want that angled
for
parking
sure.
through there to be meter only.
Uh-huh.
And something's going to happen here. We framed the RFP that, you know, this is the framework to work from.
Okay, okay.
There was a lot of back and forth getting to this point.
Sure.
These are unregulated up here. That's what that light gray is.
That's what I was going to ask about, is those spaces up there. And do you happen to know what they're unregulated, so there's no time limit on those spots up there? Or?
Correct.
Okay.
There's no citywide time limit, like 72 hours or something like that?
There is in that regard. If you're talking about somebody staying too long
at
a parking area, yes. You know, that typically starts getting into the camping arena
sure.
at that point.
And that new ordinance would cover some of that too, doesn't
yes,
it?
Yes, it does.
And the residences that are up that direction, I know like there's that, one of those has off-street parking. There's like a, it's not a condo, but it's like a small apartment building or whatever right there.
Where the number 4 is?
Yeah.
Here?
Around the backside, yeah. Mm. They've got parking underneath and around the backside, I think. But what about the rest? How many of those have, is there any of them that are purely reliant on street parking?
I mean, you're looking at single family homes here.
I'm just saying, I think this would be an area where if you're going to get some pushback from residents, because they're gonna be sensitive to the fact that some of the plant workers may rather park up that way. And not that, I mean, I think that you don't own the street in front of your house, first
nope.
of all. But secondly, I think that those houses are, what I'm getting at is I think they're covered with off-street parking mostly.
They are.
So
they
should
have
be
off-street
fine.
Parking. They should be fine. A number of those folks weighed in when this map was
yes.
being prepared, and their feedback was less about concern about people utilizing the parking, more about not wanting it to be time limited.
Right. Oh, okay. Yeah, they should be fine.
Yeah, Capri came and testified.
Yep.
What percentage of
this
those
is
numbers?
There's four. There will likely be 4 condos built here, and they will have their own parking. We've got the plans on that. The project just hasn't moved forward. Yeah, as you might recall, you got 4 foundations there. That was a project that was started in 07, 08, right before the Great Recession. Developer walked, came back, couldn't make it work, and now I believe is selling the property.
With 8% money, it's going to be a while before he does anything there.
So for permits, I guess one question I have is, if we're going to do by zone, do you want to just lump all 4 of these areas together? Or do we think the Abbey Street pier or the Abbey Street lot in of itself should be its own zone? Is it distinctly?
I mean, do you see the Pacific Seafoods as being the people who are buying the parking permits for that Abbey Street lot? Or would they be buying them for all the lots, you know, in there? I mean, I guess that would be the question I would be wondering, because if they're, if all the Abbey, if all the Pacific Seafood people are parking everywhere, then we might as well lump them together. But if they're all trying to get into that Abbey Street lot, then maybe we price it differently to, you know, reflect the demand.
Well, some of it is what percentage of the available spots should be
permit. Right.
50%, 10%, and you can make it 100%, so it's a permit only.
Or you may, you go over 100%, it's just hunting.
Yeah, it's just
a hunting permit, you know. Especially, and you know, I'd probably lean more to the hunting permit side, because you got shift work down there and things don't always line up. And as long as people know, hey, it's not a guarantee that you have a spot. It just means that if there is a spot, you're not subject to the time limits. Then they know it's baked into the formula when they buy a permit.
Well, then the other question is the permit unlimited time, or is it just a greater time, like 8 hours or 12 hours or something? Two, I mean, that's also a question.
Well, we talked about different times for different permits.
Yeah, for this area where we last stopped that discussion, we were talking about doing a 25 a month permit.
Have your little Excel sheet?
I do, but I have it hidden, so you can't see it right now.
I was just thinking about this area. This area has really changed a lot, because it used. I mean, the Abbey Street. I mean, the Pip Tide's not there, or not the Pip Tide, whatever it's called.
Right.
It's not there anymore. All the businesses that used to be down there aren't there anymore. Really, the patrons. So it's the Rogue Pub House. Gino's kind of has their own. Well, they got on-street parking, and they got those couple of spots in between there. But that's about it. There's not that many other retail businesses down there.
There's Asiatico,
there's
the bar,
that's
the
true,
restaurant,
yeah,
the
back in
the
corner.
Gallery there.
Yeah,
I wouldn't
view it. I mean, we are in a narrow window transitional period where Apollo's was is going to redevelop. I mean, that's not something that's
the whole other side of the street, though, where Bay 839 is all shut down, you know, like there's nothing.
It's
there was like five
too.
Different businesses.
And it's still, even with those businesses, not as much there as in the past. It was still really hard this summer to find a place to park during the middle, like lunchtime.
So for example,
my wife and I eat down there a lot and couldn't get a place to park. Yeah. Half the time we wouldn't eat there because Gina's because we couldn't find a place to park.
If we're trying to get employees, right, you figure you got employees at the plant or any of these shops that are going to work these 5-8 hour shifts, where do we want them to park? If not there.
Not there, up the slope, generally.
So up the slope, so it should be kind of base the pricing on the distance they're going to have to walk. Right?
That's a pretty far walk when you get down from the one side, you know,
the
west plant.
The
and you got Bornstein's there that sometimes, well, they're processing, they're cutting groundfish again there, on again, off again. So you, when both those two end, Pacific and Bornstein's are running, there's a lot of employees.
So.
And they're not going to have to park unless you turn that permit park holder
back here.
What about the hill that's by the barge? Like, is that going to be metered or is that going to be a permit? Because, I mean, a lot of employees park on that hill.
Mm-hmm.
So it would make sense to make that permitted, because most of us get there, we park there because it's off street. But we also, like, it's not convenient. Like, the top of that hill is just as far as any other high point away from the bayfront.
All of the side slopes here where you have the
permit.
Pink, that's a timed permit.
Yes.
Versus
it is,
a.
It's one of those.
Yeah,
so,
okay.
And that could be made cheaper than those yellow ones.
So, yeah, that's what I was thinking. You can make it a cheaper permit for those that are not as close, whereas the yellow ones.
That's
a
more expensive permit. It
would be a more expensive permit.
Right.
Yeah.
I would say, I think make them all this. Put them all under the same permit for now.
The four yellow
areas
we're looking at.
And then later on, I mean, whenever on the water side, whenever that gets fixed down there and the development starts to occur around the corner, you might have to relook at this, you know, splitting those off again. But to me, it seems to me they're all one and the same right now.
So maybe we call that zone A, like in a zone, so that, you know, I'm just starting. Just got to throw something out there.
Yeah.
Zone A on those four.
And then those lots would be permit only.
Yeah.
No, so we'd have those were paid or permit, so they'd be available.
Hunting permit.
It's hunting.
Okay.
But if there's vacant spaces in there and a tourist rolls in, they could take it and.
Okay.
And most of your plant workers, those shifts are early enough in the morning, they're most of them are gonna get a parking spot in the morning. Cause I mean, when we had our store down there, 6 and 7 in the morning, our parking spots were full when they're running shrimp across the street from plant workers.
Now, what, you guys still thinking 25 a month makes sense?
What's the
value on that? What on the paid only area over in this area?
I mean, that's such a good deal.
It is.
It's not, I don't think, in my opinion, it wouldn't change behavior.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't either, because I mean, and it's cheaper than paying $1 a day at the meter.
Yeah. I think if it's both, where you can get a permit and if you can pay as you go, the price needs to be very similar. Otherwise, we're not really gonna change behavior, which is the whole purpose of this.
Right.
All right, so per stall per month in that area, you're looking at about $200.
They aren't out there keeping the meter going. And when
they're
working on a shift, they can't
go
do that.
During your peak season, you're looking at 200.
I think it would, made around fish plants. I think it would change. Cause if they don't have a permit, you gotta be feeding that thing or running your card or whatever on your phone. And when you're in the middle of a shift running a fish plant, you don't.
That's what I'm saying, the fish plant's gonna end up paying for it. They're gonna say.
Well, but they're not gonna be paying attention to that. And my guy's on a heist, oh crap, I better redo my, he's gonna miss it. So then he's gonna get a ticket. Okay, and so you get a few tickets, you've outgone your permit pretty quick. And it will change behavior.
But you said, what did you say the day, you said it was 200 a month? Is that what it comes out to?
Yeah, about 200 a month.
Boy, that's a lot.
You know, I mean, each stall, you're looking at what? $8 a day, $8 a day per stall.
We do 5 days a week, not 7.
But again, remember, we're only running the meters from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. So a lot of when those fish plant folks are gonna be there, we wouldn't have been running the meters anyway that early. Because most businesses don't.
But they'll be in the middle of their shift when the meter comes on.
Yeah.
That's not gonna work.
Well, they'll
have a permit.
They'll get a permit.
Right.
They'll pay for a permit.
But if they don't get a permit, that's what I'm talking about. Behavioral changes.
Yeah.
If they don't get a permit, they're gonna get a ticket.
Right.
So then it changes their behavior.
That changes their behavior.
Right.
What's the price of the stall, each stall 5 days a week for 5 hours?
I just ran it per stall per month during
like
the peak period and per stall per month for the off peak.
What's $1 an hour? So,
right, so
5 times 5, 25.
I also ran it at 85% utilization, recognizing you're always gonna have some degree of vacancy on stalls and we were running a little over 85% utilization. I'm sorry, yeah, 85% utilization, 15% vacancy.
So it's $100 if they are doing 5 hours, 5 days a week.
I have clients that work at the plant, and they do, sometimes they do 12-hour shifts, sometimes even more. So, something to think about. When the season is high, they work as many hours as they can.
I would expect that not everybody parks down there. Some people carpool, some people park up on the side streets. I mean, I think you're gonna have, you already have different behavior, but going to a paid lot, it's supposed to free up some spaces. Right?
So just to clarify, if I get a permit, I could park there all day long, all night long, if I wanted to, for example.
Well, so we gotta talk about that.
Okay.
Probably not exceeding the, whatever the camping permit time is, would be, I mean, I think you would want them to line up.
Right.
So rather than creating another exception.
In this area,
yeah.
In the fishing down the further, that
might
talked
be
about
that's a different
longer.
Story because they've got the long term.
Well, what do you guys think is reasonable for somebody to park there with a permit?
Well, I was thinking.
I'm not sure down there, 72. We had a conversation with commercial fishing. That's a different critter with multiple days. I don't see multiple days down here. We could set that at 8 hours, 10 hours, 12 hours, 24 hours.
Right.
I think that range is more realistic. Appropriate than 72.
Sure.
Yeah,
24
to me,
hours.
To me in this area, you would want it long enough that a plant worker who chose to pay the fee
Right.
And who chose to park there could get through their day and get through an extended shift or whatever, if that's what they, you know. So I would say, like, I don't know, 24 hours?
24
or
hours should do it.
Yeah,
24
hours
should
cover
it.
And then you just got to adjust the rate. So
they shouldn't be working 24
they
hours.
They might not work 24 hours, but they might go in another coworker's car and then spend the night somewhere and then come back and get it.
Right. I think 24 hours should, but then you want to adjust the rate so that some plant workers are going to say, I'm out at that price. I'm going to park up the hill and walk down, or I'm going to get a ride. But some are going to say, okay, I'll go in on that price. And so where is that at?
We've got that up the hill, that lot that's number 33. I guess that's 33 spots. So if we're going to say maybe that's $25 to park there, you know, then you want the yellow ones to be at least 50%
more. Move your map just
more.
A little bit so we can see up the Canyon
Way. Is that Canyon Way, right? Is
yeah.
That, that's
yeah.
Canyon Way?
I mean, I assume that's what you guys are talking about, going up the hill and parking.
If it was me, I'd go to one of those residential
yeah,
spots. That's where I'd go.
No.
Yeah, you got the Canyon Way lot up here.
So those would be the cheapest lots.
These
and then it gets
cheaper.
More expensive. Yeah, it's more
maybe,
expensive.
Maybe not. Most of them
yeah,
don't
it
know
gets
they
more
exist.
Expensive, but the closer you
I
get
don't
to
figure it out real
well,
quick.
We were looking at Hood River.
I mean,
like,
they're cheapest,
AI,
in,
maybe.
You
know,
lots. I mean, there's your comparable size community with a similar, I mean, it's not the same geography, but a similar makeup in terms of what they have.
Commercial and tourist and stuff.
Commercial, they've got one main drag with a little bit on the sides and then a handful of lots scattered through there, some that are hit all harder than others on the periphery. And they were running between, what, $25 on the low end a month to about $45 or more a month on the high end.
I don't know what to charge for the fishing side.
I mean, so it might be that you start that pink lot at 25, the yellow lots at 50 or 45 or something.
A month.
I thought we were just picking on the four.
Right, but I mean, I think since you want, if you're trying to encourage behavior, you want to price it so that people are going to say, hey, lot 33 looks better to me than.
Go up there and pay a little less.
Pay a little less and go up there.
Well, the thing is with that is 33, people can park at 33 and work at the shrimp plant. Okay, but they're not going to want to park at 33 and work at Bornstein's, or the West Fish Plant,
mm-hmm.
Pacific Plant. That's
too
far along, especially at night. And place isn't the safest place it used to be either. You know.
Yeah.
But at night, like the street parking, is no longer by permit or paying. So like they could park down there if they're working at night. That wouldn't be the issue.
Right.
So they could park a lot closer to where they're going. And not have to worry as much about the danger aspect. Because, like, yeah, I personally wouldn't be walking by myself from my store on the Bayfront all the way up to 33 at night by myself.
You know what? She makes a good point, too. When we think about the permit parking, you know, we got to think about, well, at what point are we actually metering? And we're metering for an 8-hour period. So maybe we just set the things for a full 8-hour.
Right.
And it's covering the duration that the meters would be running.
And then they can park
and
any
off,
other
and
hours outside
off,
of that.
So who cares? We're not, you know.
All right. And take it out.
And then if we have, say, 100 in that yellow section there, do we sell 100 permits or do we sell 50?
Or do we just say anybody who wants one can get one? It's just a hunting permit. It's not a guarantee for a space.
Yeah,
we're not reserving
space.
Spaces down here.
That's what I would do.
You know, it's not
because
not
that,
like
gives,
a,
that gives
like
the city
a,
most
yeah.
revenue. And
well, I think it would be a good place to start.
Well, if it's
they're not going to be happy about it.
No,
when they
but
can't
if
find
it's monthly,
spot.
At least somebody can say, "Look, if they're frustrated that they're never finding a spot, then they stop the monthly permit. They're not, you know."
Right. Yeah. Right. They're not locked into it.
They're not locked to it long term. But this isn't like, say, certain university lots that allocate specific spots to professors or whatever,
mm-hmm.
you know, at a university type setup. I think this is just more can the hunting permit, which is. It's available if you have a permit.
Well, I think we need to see the usage statistics too to say, oh, that lot is at Abbey Street lot's always full with people who have a permit, or it's 90% full of permit. Then maybe we need to back off the number.
Right, we can
and
we
raise the price
or raise the price.
Raise
yeah.
raise that price until it stops.
Right. I mean, so part of it is we'll need some metrics. But it's a good point.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to sell 200 permits for 100 spots. I mean,
sure.
Then you're asking people to come in and be like, why can't I
just park
in this school? Because we sold 200 permits.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and the other thing is it would encourage businesses to shift work to less prime time too, right? If their employees are complaining about never being able to get parking, they could say, well, you can park for free after this time and it's less crowded, so let's just change our shift times. You know, because that's what we're going for, is encouraging a behavior change. That would be part of it.
The objective here really is to kind of further refine this so that when we select the vendor, we have, okay, here's a clear concept. Vendors may have some suggestions too on how we tweak this that you will want to hear, and it could influence the direction you want to take with it.
Vendors are probably going to be higher than what we're going to say.
They may be.
Because they want to cut. Yeah.
Well, that and they're used to other places probably.
Right.
I mean, we're still like way cheaper.
But I think the main thing that, for me, the main takeaway is the pink lot needs to be cheaper than the yellow lots.
Yep, because you're walking further.
Right. And that will start the behavior, so the exact price is...
Do you think that there should be any kind of a tiered program for, like, for example, a business who has under 5 employees or a business who has 100 employees? Do you think that these lots should have a tiered price?
And which would be more expensive?
I would say if they have 100 employees, it'd be more expensive than if they had 5 employees.
I think the key there is why would we do that? What policy objective is that?
I would
helping to get. That's the part where I'd run into some issues, because in my mind, you know, we've been. This is about changing behavior, not just behavior of those that work at fish plants or those that work at small retail establishments, but behavior generally.
I guess I'm just
that's
thinking
a part
that,
where I
yeah.
Have a
I guess I'm just thinking that for the businesses on the Bayfront, if there was an incentive, well, because in general, I'm guessing that most of the businesses will want to pay their employees permits.
I mean, we would do that for our employees, but my also issue is my employees are now having to be super inconvenienced by how far they're going to have to park and walk, which they've never had to do. And I have employees that have been there for over 10 years.
Yeah.
And I've been down there for like as long as I can drive, so for like 20 years now. And it's, you know, yeah, I get the point of it. I get trying to regulate it because it's hard, because there's a lot of us trying to access the same area. So it makes sense, but it is going to be like, it's already hard enough to find employees, and to have to say, oh, you have to walk like a quarter of a mile, a half a mile just to get to your work, and you have to pay $25 to do this, is already a disincentive when you're making, like, we pay like $14 to $15 an hour. You can go get a job somewhere else for more, you know, and it's already hard enough to get employees down there. You know, when you have your shift start in the middle of like the day on the summer, you anticipate that you're going to park far away, but if you're opening and you get there earlier, like, that's kind of like a benefit. You get to park a little bit closer.
So what do you think about, you know, I take Robert, I appreciate your comments. I'm just trying to kind of continue to move us along in this particular area on the, so maybe 25 a month in the pink and 45 a month in the yellow.
I mean, I think that's a good starting place.
Considering if somebody was paying a meter, you know, straight up at a dollar an hour for 8 hours a day, you're going to be well above that in a month.
Right.
That's a pretty significant discount, certainly in the yellow area. And we're not talking about metering the pink. That's a timed limit, but it's not a metered area.
So if you have a permit, you could park in the green in the meter area too.
No.
The green is going
to
be.
You can park there,
only.
But you have to pay.
Right. Okay.
You'd have to pay.
It's meter only.
Yeah. So the permits for those yellow lots.
For the yeah.
And there's also a lot on my map that's pink that says 7. It's in the lower. It's not on the screen, but it's further west and south of the lot that says 55 of the Abbey Street lot.
I believe that was going to be that fits in the same as the Herbert Street area, which was unregulated. That's not an improved parking area.
Oh, it's just like a lot of dirt or something.
Right, it's dirt. I just think it's a little dirt area there.
Sure.
I do think if we're going to be charging people to park,
That's like the Eagles, or what building is that? That's a.
Here, this is the lot I'm talking about.
Oh, he's talking about west of 55.
Yeah, west of 55.
It's not on your screen.
Oh, you're talking about a different one?
Yeah.
Down by the old pimp.
There you go.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, see, there's that pink lot. Is
where it just says one?
One.
Yeah, one.
That's
47.
Yeah.
God, I need glasses.
That say one to me.
That's hard to tell.
It does look like a one up there, but on my map it was seven.
What
and it is.
I'm trying to remember where it is.
I think it's the
the spot right next to Monica's store.
Yes,
that's
it is.
That's
yeah,
like two spaces.
Yeah, two spaces.
But you can't even
park
it because I think
that's
roped off.
Yeah, that's Geno's, right?
That's Geno's.
No, Geno's is on the other side. Like, this is Monica's.
No,
it used to be
not.
The wood gallery forever.
No, that's it.
That's it.
That's Geno's.
Okay.
It's a rogue right there.
So that's an outdated.
That has had more parking there before other things got strewn into that right away. Trash containers and things of that nature.
Right.
So there's not quite.
So it's pretty much a negligible spot right now, is what we're saying.
Yeah. I mean, it could get thrown into the. I mean, it was identified as being the same as like in Canyon Way.
Right.
Because it's not, there's not a whole lot there.
Sure.
It's the ones that are high visibility are is the this big one right here.
Right.
You
yeah.
Know.
So what percentage of these A section permits are we going to sell?
They got for sale.
Yeah, I'd still do it.
You'll do it.
I mean, yeah, that's a good question. 150% maybe.
I don't think.
I missed the meeting
under
100 where they talked about.
Well,
you're
going to want to leave it open for some meter.
Well, I think
that's the
biggest of the time, right? So there's always going to be
right, like if
people
multiple shifts, like if you so if,
they overlap.
Yeah, they overlap.
So you want to actually sell probably a little bit more than what your number is because
there's always a vacancy.
Plus, yeah, different people will be down there on different days, you know, and so you're not necessarily going to have the same kind of one-to-one demand.
Can I ask, how does the pink going up Canyon Way work? So, because pink is permit, right?
Time or permit. And the permit would exempt you from the time limits.
So you could park there for longer than...
Right, but like people park there and come down to the bayfront all the time, just customers.
They would just have like the regular 4-hour.
It would just be a 4-hour.
They have a 4-hour.
But they're not paying for it.
No.
Right.
Oh, okay.
But they're limited to 4 hours. So the advantage of a permit would be you can stay up there.
Gotcha, okay. Thank you.
Building down, so they should put up signs that you're... Pay to park.
There's places like that in Corvallis too.
Yeah.
So we're gonna cap the A permits at 150%.
Well, I'm just throwing out a number.
I think that's important to me because the last thing I want to do is have a flight program where you book a flight and they're trying to ask two or three people to bounce out.
Right.
Well, again, it's like a hunting permit. It's not your
it's not
your seat on the plane.
I think the flip side is it's going to. I mean, if these were permit only lots, I think the percentage means more. But because they're permit paid, any surplus you're creating, you are creating more for people to come in and pay. So it's not going to be an easier form to find spots.
Right. I would just make sure the language is really clear that it's not a guaranteed spot, so nobody comes at you really angry when they can't find a spot.
Like
they probably should sign something when they get the permit, acknowledging it.
You know when you get your
check boxes.
You get your driver permit.
This
you have to watch the video to
get
it.
By acknowledging.
Watch a video.
But
something should make it really clear.
Yeah, we could do it to where when they go through the application of getting the permit, they actually physically cannot move on to the application till they watch the video completely all the way through that explains.
Well, part of that all depends on the vendor we select.
Correct.
Because they're the ones who are managing the permits for us because that was written into the RFP.
All I'm saying is it just needs to be very clear.
Right.
They
but
to
if
be
you have a landing page
so
that says
it.
Welcome
to
the program,
right.
Watch this video, you
have
to agree to that you watch this video.
I mean, I agree, that's a good idea. So there's no surprises.
Right. Thank you.
Derek, could we ask the vendors, because they have, we're a unique situation, but a lot of the vendors have broad experience. Could we ask them? That's Gary's phone.
Okay,
Gary's.
I just want to let everybody know we're just about 20 minutes.
Okay. Yeah.
Could we ask the vendors their feelings on how much, should it be 150%
110, 120, just based on, it's our decision.
Just a straight up hunting permit.
Yeah, just what the, what their experience has been.
Yeah, I wrote them both down, I think maybe we pitch a couple options to say, hey, we kick around either 150% is a cap, so we're not overselling permits and people get frustrated because, you know, they're paying for a permit and they can never find a parking space. Or is a hunting permit fine, you know, when they recognize upfront, hey, you're not guaranteed a space, it's gonna be what it's gonna be.
I'd also ask them.
I think the point on the shift workers is, a lot of those that are folks that are working, and frankly, a lot of the retail folks down there are going to have an easier time finding spaces, period, because they're arriving earlier before most tourists are down there.
I just think if you're primarily going down there to say anytime between 12 and 4, and you got a permit, you're out of luck.
Yeah, you're gonna have a hard time.
Yeah.
And that's when they're gonna go, wait, I bought 149th permit for 100 parking spots. That's gonna, you should know which permit you're buying. So if I buy it, I wanna know how many have already been sold.
Right.
Yeah, that's tough, cause then rent, permit only, just sell it till you're out. But that's also a hunting permit, right?
It's a hunting permit, yeah.
It's a hunting, alright, so that's.
Phone was buzzing.
So the 28, that's the River Street lot, that was set up as a 12-hour limit. That's proximate to the charters.
We're late for dinner.
That's why that was set up that way.
Wait, so why is it, the 28, that's the barge lot?
Yeah.
And so that's permit?
That's the hill that has all the drainage issues on it.
Yeah.
And that's the permit?
For like the.
That was set up as a 12-hour on the map for basically where a lot of the charters.
Sure, but it's permit?
Yeah, they would get a permit.
But it's not just their lot, so.
Correct.
It's anybody.
Anybody.
That's where we park.
Right.
Anybody, but it was an extended window for them, not a 4-hour.
Would it be like the $25 permit though, like would it be similar to the red?
Kinda, except it'd be, actually it'd be a little bit, our discussion with the charters was that they would be buying temporary day use permits. Because they're, you know, their people come in.
Right, but like for our employees, that's the main hill all of my employees park on.
Yeah, I think it'd be more like the paint, I would expect.
So if we did that though, they would be the $25 one and they could park there, most of them get there early enough, but they would be able to find a spot probably.
Yeah, the 28, that's a good point.
No.
I just don't think like that hill is a big pain to walk up, so I don't feel like it should be a $45 spot.
Right, it's.
You guys fine with the B, well, I'm just, if you guys have a better name for these zones, tell me please. A B, B's kind of the pink one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the 28, which is the Herbert, would be a B, yeah, so.
But also have, yeah, the permits for the charters.
Or the day use type of permit for the charters.
So I have a quick question on the B permits. Would they be allowed to park on the street and avoid the 4-hour limit, or is it just a block?
These are, okay, you're talking about, yeah, they'd up here?
Yeah, along that road.
Along Canyon Way, yeah, they could park there, and if they have a permit, they avoid the 4-hour limit.
So they could just park there for.
For the entire workday.
Yeah.
That was the point.
Okay, that's fine.
That would be the reason they'd get the permit.
Right.
I think that, looking at number two, I think that the two by Ripley's should be a green two. That right there.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, we can, that's a pretty minor change, we can.
Cotton portrait of fiction.
There's two street parking spots there.
Correct.
Yeah.
So someone gets like.
Well, that's fine. The trick there is gonna be signing, but we can sort through that.
What do you mean?
Just making sure that it's clear that, one, there's parking areas there and that it's fee, so we'll have to make sure we get signs there.
Yeah, it's not a problem.
Yeah, money back for you guys.
And so, this guy, that upper lot, was put into the same kind of B zone category, that'd be your pink.
Why is it in the museum? Is it up a hill or something?
It's up a hill.
It is. It's not very good condition.
Traffic.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's scary and dingy. Like there's no lighting.
I don't like
and
going
it's,
up there.
Yeah.
Sure.
It's really not friendly at all.
Right.
I've definitely had to park there, but it's not my favorite.
Part of this whole process was, if I remember back a few years, besides setting this up, is the city would have to make some improvements.
It will be.
In the various parking areas.
Mm-hmm.
That would be prime.
Good to know.
Which I think goes to the marketing point. When you make an improvement, you put a sign up that says, your parking fees have paid for this.
Yeah. Some people might feel better about that.
To get a permit.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, part of the, you know, this, that was part of the equation. We don't have, I mean, we rely on public parking down here. We have no dedicated funding source to maintain any of it. So that's what this is part about. So Hatfield would be your B. And then we start moving into the commercial fishing, which got us high center for a while at the last meeting.
What we were talking about,
putting five.
Put a time limit on that. And I think where we were at was like a four day time limit with permits and meters too, right?
Yeah.
So it's paid permit with no more than 96 hours.
So that's C zone now. What we're talking about would be all that on-street parking over there.
Same meters as B zone. Oh no, same meters as the green, but then also permit.
But the permit could be more.
This is a permit. This is a permit meter. The permit would be different because they're going to be staying there longer.
How long?
All right, Gary, where are we at?
A is going to be 8 hours.
Hey, big spender.
Whereas down here, this is longer stay.
Right, so we're going to say.
So what did you come up with? I went to the bathroom for a minute there. What did you come up with for those other?
So 25, starting with the pink lots would be 25, and then the yellow lots would be 45 a month.
The other one would be 45 a month. These guys. So we had talked about it in the context of annual permits previously.
Right.
And bear in mind, they have, so the port's got a couple of small lots in there, so they have an option. And that's going to be a separate pass that they would have to pay for with us. And I don't. And the
what's
port,
your pack,
port
what's your the ports we're talking about. You're
depends
talking
on what
these,
they set there.
Right here, we
should
right?
Probably keep ours a little under that. Is kind of what it sounds like.
That's this one, right? And then over here.
I gotta get my bearings on that.
Stop in front of the
historical society.
Historical society, and then over next to Shuey's.
Uh-huh.
Those are the two lots down in that area.
Oh, over here.
Yeah.
Okay, so you got that one. And
yeah.
You got that one. The
right.
Report.
And then you got that strip of cars right there on our lot, right? Those are all. Those that's all parking. It's gonna be stay that way.
Dock 7.
Yeah. No, that's well. Yeah. But it's and the concept of all of these really would, you know, well, whichever. But the port would probably keep, it sounds like, our permits a little underneath whatever the city establishes theirs at, so that, you know, they can get those permits and they'd be able to park on our lots. And if they really wanted to, they could pay the city rate and have the option to park on a street, but not for, like, long trips. We want to keep them to, like, day working kind of thing.
So those lots would be permit only.
Ours currently
yeah,
are.
The port
yes,
would
right.
Be permit only.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's supposed to be only for fishermen are supposed to be the only ones that can get that permit.
So what we had talked about too, you know, is how wherever we land on these fees, we would potentially be looking at a fleet purchase option through you guys, the port. So then you guys would identify all those eligible for permits.
Yeah.
Because you guys are in a better position than the city is to determine whether or not somebody should be getting a permit.
Yeah.
Because they're actually legitimately working in the commercial fishing industry.
And I think what we're going to do is, for this reason and then plus just our own security reasons, is increase the standard for what it takes to get access to our... So we're going to look for a... basically... you're gonna need to get a letter from the vessel owner that says you're working for them, and you know, verify that they are working for them. So we'll have that kind of sewed up a little bit tighter. But the price, I think, is what we're still trying.
Right, that's the struggle.
That's the main thing, is what does it look like?
And we're talking 96 hour? Was that the number I heard? Yeah.
Yeah. And I think last meeting we were talking about, is this, so what's the duration of this? How long does this pass? Are all the city passes gonna be a monthly thing?
We don't have to set it up that way. We could do annual on this end. It might make sense to do annual on this end for the stretch.
So yeah, if you bought one every month, you got May, June, July, August.
Well, maybe monthly makes more sense for you. Maybe it makes more sense if you do monthly. Depending on how what you.
I think it makes more sense.
Yeah, because then because there's it's all seasonal. It's all very
July.
Seasonal.
You got 6 months.
Okay.
Right.
We're gonna 6 months pass.
So what happens when they're at sea, you know, for the...
But what if we charge it the same as we do on the other side? It's 45 a month, except they just have a longer duration they get to stay because of the nature of the businesses
right
over there. That might be a fair way to do it.
Well, run that by
the only
me
problem
again.
I see
45
is
a
brought
month.
Is a really good
I don't,
point.
I think it should be more.
Yeah,
it should be more.
Ago. Yeah. You're going to have a lot of squawk.
It doesn't matter what you do. We get squawk about $20 a year right now. So just but you see, most of that's going to be directed at us, because that we're going to be the place where they have to pay for their permits. So we're the ones that are going to have to put up with it. Maybe. But you're right. If they're underway and it's and they bought a monthly pass and then it cycles over, that could be a little bit of a problem. But you're planning on doing most of these electronic. Like, you're not going to have to come into City Hall. This is going
to
be done online.
Electronic,
right?
Yeah, it'll be all online. They don't have to come into City. We
but
don't
they
want
don't
to
have
come
cell
into
service.
You have
which
that.
Does happen a lot.
But so if you sell us these passes.
Right.
Then we're going to have to do this with, we're going to have to do.
You would give us you would give us a list of license plate numbers and, you know, and
how are the port being compensated to do all that work?
Well, that's what I'm trying to figure
we
out.
We would have to build that into the
profit fees sharing or something.
Yeah,
like that.
We would have to provide them some something for that. We can work that out. Some cut in the permit revenue off of that end or something like that.
Logically,
it makes sense that they're the clearinghouse. I mean, they're much closer to the commercial fishing fleet. People who are working in that arena are more accustomed to working with the port than they are us. So having them and the port already has a couple of lots over there that they maintain along with Port Dock 7. So many of these folks who are parking in the street would be utilizing the port for parking areas too. So it makes sense that it just be through the port.
As long as it says City of Newport on it, so that at
well,
the end of the day,
Newport.
We can say if you want to really complain about the cost, that's where you have to go to.
That I think then should stay with the City of Newport.
They have no way of verifying it.
We're only verifying that they paid for the permit, right?
Well, verify they qualify for the permit.
The only people that are going to be qualified to get that permit are supposed to be commercial fishermen. Is the
right
idea?
That's
in just that yellow
for the
area.
Just for
right
the just this
yep
orange area, yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Everybody else just pays by the hour.
Correct. So that's the wrinkle down here. This is that's why it's a different zone. It's a C zone, and it's
the
to commercial fishing.
We
to the port.
So the
so
owner
no other
will have
businesses
to give them
on the
tell the port
can apply
this
for
is an employee
permits for that section,
and they can go
correct
ahead. We want them to have access, and then we'll verify that.
No, they can pay by the hour. That's fine.
Stop.
It's gonna be a meter option there.
Right, but there's no permit.
We don't have as
that's
many.
Why,
we don't have as many businesses
yeah
down there.
I get
though
it for sure, but that's why I think that
it,
you should.
It's got the employer's information on it.
Consider, you know, giving a break to business owners in the other section.
Like I said, if you end up doing it all, you're
the West
Side. The City of Newport, so where you
need
to go.
Yeah. 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 No. Yeah. I know.
I just say
we got to come up with a fee. What do you think? I'm thinking around 50 a month. That's what I'm thinking. Because I mean, we when we first proposed this, we were talking like $100 for the year,
mm-hmm,
and we heard a lot. Well, we had people writing letters, mm-hmm, that were pissed about it, and they weren't operations that couldn't afford it.
Mm-hmm. No,
you know, but they were not happy about it. And we were selling it to them. Oh, that's only gonna be $100 a year. Don't worry about it. It's not gonna be a big deal. Well, it's obviously gonna be more than that though. And I don't wanna throw it too steep right off the bat. Cause we're gonna hear a lot of squawk. Cause right now they have free.
Is that yellow area where we're talking about the 96 hour permits, is that also gonna be regular parking for customers of restaurants and things
it
like that?
It could be for anybody else. It's a meter.
What about the employees at those businesses? Can they can't get a permit like anybody else can?
That's not for that zone.
Currently we have it, so that this is just.
It's really congested there. I mean, and not, you know, there's a lot of tourists parking down there.
Could you do two permits though? Could you do permits for the employees at a different rate? And then the 96 hour ones at another rate?
Well, they can park in the city, in the port, it's gonna be cheaper.
Plans to just be.
If that's enough.
Louisville has a lot of employees.
To move, then the meter will actually.
Tony's always on that, right in the yellow strip or up by the Maritime.
Well, they're not very big. I mean, you're gonna have to, the port one, the one that has the biggest.
Employees that are gonna have to walk a lot farther if they can't buy a permit.
It's 500 yards. It is 500 yards.
But some people are willing to do it.
Right.
So maybe from $5 to $3.
Oh, yeah.
If it's $20 there, $50 there, I'll walk.
Yeah, like give them a zone where they can.
And other people will pay for it, and that's the behavior change you're trying to get.
That's right.
See, I'll pay for it.
I'd pay for it too, yeah.
And my captain's probably paying for it.
I would also be curious to look at changing the yellow zone and removing the, from the number five to the number three.
You mean bring that?
From number five to number three.
From the, so number 12.
12 spaces here?
I mean.
Yeah, those 12 spaces there.
That's a port parking lot.
I'm constantly running people out of the ports parking.
Yeah, but on the street, the 12on the street.
Yeah.
I would put those with the other sections so that local ocean's employees or.
I think most of local.
Walking up to my truck or walking away from my truck and watching.
Cause there's a lot of employees there, so they usually park across the street.
You know, Laura was on the prior.
A lot of these, she was okay with this.
Oh, really? Not being able to do. I was just curious about the employee.
Good, I haven't ever actually, you know, this is.
The employees wouldn't be able to get a permit.
That side of the lot is for local ocean. This side of the lot is commercial fishing, that sign right there.
Maybe she was, maybe she was thinking that they would be willing to pay the $8 for the 8 hours.
It just depends on who you run into. What their issue is that day.
I think there's a recognition that the challenge. It's just the nature of the commercial fishing, you know, industry and business and the duration they need to be out.
Yeah.
And fortunately, we don't have as much of a retail presence on this end. So you don't have quite as much competition as you say have elsewhere down way in the fish plants.
We do get a lot of tourists down there, and it used to not be that many, but boy, it is now.
Yeah.
And it's gotten really bad for fishermen. Cause I mean, everybody's bitching about the fishermen are bitching about parking. And I keep saying, this should roll it over and we should have more parking available to us. It should roll it over.
And maybe the port will move some of those nets and they can add more parking in there.
Yeah, that's storage. We make revenue off of that. That's a, that's hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Let me, I still think 45 might make be a little better than 50. Because then it's at least.
I'm for 45. I was just trying to piece you guys when you're saying a little bit more.
Well, I think it's the same as what the other yellow one is. It's just a duration issue.
Right.
Which I get, but then it's also not, you know, this is not right next in the heart of everything.
Right.
Whereas the Abbey lot is, there's a whole lot going on.
And I was gonna make that.
Restaurants, retail, and you don't have quite as much of that.
You read my mind, I wasn't gonna make that argument for a lower one, cause it's not in a bunch of retail spots.
Well, since it's time, can we move it to the next meeting?
Sure.
Thank you.
No, we're gonna do, it's gonna be 45 with a contingency.
Just real quick though, then the last of it here is the pink over here in front of Port Dock 7.
A boat.
So I'm assuming that.
Not a boat.
Or you gotta show your commercial fishing license to the port.
That goes into the same kind of zone A, 25 a month.
You know that?
Yeah.
Or maybe we allow that to be 20, zone A, 25 a month, or the port ones can slop over that area too.
What does that mean?
So if they have a port permit here, and they're paying 45 a month for.
We do.
They could park.
We provide the crew licenses on our boats. Some of them don't, a lot of like smart boats don't.
If they're parking for
That's what I'm saying, like, it's gotta be the same for.
Why not move them down into the pink and move the pink down? Why do they need to park in that part where it's really packed and popular?
Because it's right, it's next to one of the largest commercial fishing moorages there at Port Dock Five. And it's the access to their vessels, that's the issue there.
They were saying that in the last couple of meetings, that it's hard for them to park overnight, like by ten, and walk it all the way over to like the Chelsea Rose Dock, or all the way over to the other dock.
So Gary, what do you think about the port permit, the permits we're talking about here for commercial fishermen applying to not only this yellow area, but also the pink area over here? So, but retailers could utilize, get permits here too, so it'd be kind of a flex spot. So if you're commercial.
That's a long way to walk for the retail all the way on the other end.
I just don't understand why there can't be both permits happening in the yellow.
In the same area.
It just, you would, it's again, it's trying to change behavior. If we offer permits to everybody who's parking down there right now, just the way they're doing it, we won't change any behavior. That's the problem we run into.
Sure. Or even just change section six to pink.
Six, why would you change six?
Yeah.
Because six is where a lot of retail employees park.
That's pretty far away to walk still too.
Change it to what?
To pink.
So it would be the.
Cheaper permit?
No, just be the cheaper permit that the retail, so nobody else who works on the bayfront can park in the yellow, just the fishermen, if they have a permit. But if they have a permit, they can park in the pink. I know that, like, I know you said Laura was here for the meetings, I know that the six spot, that's a bunch of local employees that park there.
If you're gonna, I'd make ten all that fisherman permitted parking.
Well, that's what he was saying, is that they could use their permits to park in those areas too.
Would you allow it to go over into the pink?
Which makes sense.
They're looking to just be able to have retail employees and people like that purchase permits in that area, I think it'd be all right. I think you could add those 22 spaces by the old fern plant platform there too. To split permits between fishermen and retail employees.
Oh, yeah.
This whole area here?
Yeah, all the.
Six to 22. It just seems really unfair to all the employees on that street versus the rest of the bayfront.
Can you guys sell permits to employees that work on the bayfront?
We're pretty sewed up with just fishermen.
Are you limited to just?
Yeah, because if you think about it, we're like a business incubator, so every one of those boats is a business, so we have to provide parking for them.
We did have a public comment at the end, we might want to send them a chance to say something.
Any public comment that you'd like to say? Okay, great, so we're adjourned.
All right. I'll play around with that east end a little bit, based on what you said.
I would change 22 pink, I'm leaving the same.
No, but I think six is a small enough spot to change to pink that it's a big thing.
I'd leave six and 22 at least the same. And maybe